Hello, welcome to Nintendo Nostalgia. I'm your host, Jacob Rush, and I'm joined by my co-host, the one, the only, Ryan Black, outside of the guy who's in our nostalgia chat, who's got the same name. Ryan, welcome back, man. How are you, my friend?
I am good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited because today we're bringing back an old classic that we've only done twice. And the second time we tried to experiment, it didn't really go quite as planned. It was a lot harder to do in the way we were doing it. But we're doing a deep dive, Ryan. We're doing a deep dive. And if we have any longtime listeners listening to this, you'll know what a deep dive is. A deep dive is where Ryan and I turn with. So this will be a series outside of a few special episodes here and there because we're getting close to the holidays. Ryan and I, for the next handful of weeks, we're going to be diving into a classic game that is very popular and most people play. And in this situation, this particular game that you already know of is about Super Mario World. So Ryan and I just want to remind the listeners, if you're new or if it's been a long time, how does this work? Well, basically, Ryan and I break down a game and we just go into it in detail. We go through it level by level, world by world. We describe what we're seeing, and our goal really is to just kind of take you back to relive the magic of when you first played this game. Obviously, when we talk about stuff, yes, that happens in discussion, but how this works is really we're just kind of just, you should be able to visualize what we're saying. That's our goal. We want to help you visualize. We want to help you walk through it with us and memorize what we're saying. And I want to be like you're there, like you're able to play the game with us. And we did this for Mario 64, and it worked really well. I thought I was really proud of that series we did. We tried again for Zelda Ocarina of Time, but we tried to like stream it at the same time and play it live. We just had a lot of technical issues. Clearly, we are not, Ryan and I, not the most tech savviest people in all of the land, but we're trying to take it back to the roots. Yeah, so that's what we're doing. But before we get started, Ryan, how are you, man? How are you doing this week?
I'm good. I finally got a diagnosis for the hip problems I've been having. So it's good to know. Knowing's half the battle. So I've got some surgery that I'll have to plan here in the future, but I've got some exercise I got to do until then, see if it improves it. But yeah, glad to know that I know what's going on, and that I can start getting some rest again.
Right. Yeah. Well, the hips don't lie, Ryan. They don't lie. So, well, my friend, I think it's time that we just boot this bad boy up and we just get started. Let's take everybody down a pathway of playing Super Mario World, the first original iteration of it on the Super Nintendo, not the Game Boy Advance remakes, not booting it up on the Wii Classic Shop. This is the OG 1990-91 era Super Mario World. Okay. I love it when the power button, as soon as you turn it on, it's like the slight faint pause. You know, the screen, like you can tell it like activates on the TV. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when like, you know, because back in the day, it would be hard. Sometimes the system wouldn't start right away and sometimes it wouldn't connect to the television. But then, you know, when it does connect, because the screen would kind of like do a little like a little twitch click over, and you could tell that, the game's starting now. And it does that for that slight second pause, and then you got the ba-dink, and the Yoshi coin comes up. And at this time, remember, no one knew who, I guess people knew who Yoshi was, but he was he was just a slide off little cookie character. Like he had Yoshi's Cookie for the NES on a game that probably barely anyone played. And he wasn't really, I think, very much associated with Mario yet at that time. And then now he's being inputted into the game. So you see his face pop up. And immediately, just the way the graphics looked, the detail of that golden coin showed you that we were in for a new experience.
Mm-hmm. Nintendo Presents. Ah, so good. I like that. You know, it opens up. So let's talk a little bit about the title screen here. Spoiler alert, this is actually... the demo that you see Mario running through and attacking enemies and stuff, that's actually a level in the game. But very very few people have experienced that level. So you're watching this kind of demo play of this early level where Mario is doing some of the basic stuff, like picking up shells. It shows off a bit of what the game can do. It introduces Yoshi, like, right from the get-go. So you can pick up shells, you can toss them, you can get Yoshi. If you get hit by an enemy, Yoshi runs off. Like, it basically serves as a tutorial showing you what all the things that the game does that's different from the past games, you know?
Right.
Even at the very end of that, you can see where Yoshi bounces on top of a piranha plant that tells you, like, all the capabilities of Yoshi. It serves as a tutorial. It's very short and sweet, but it gives you an idea of what everything does right from the get-go. I think that was really, it's a really powerful, like, symbol there.
Yeah. Well, and you can just tell there's so much more detail. I mean, there's hanging fruit. You can tell that there's fruit. Again, the golden coin that I mentioned, I mean, it's right there at the top of the game. Obviously, the golden coin sound is what plays with the Nintendo Presents. But yeah, you're right. It shows you that you're riding a creature and you can hit him to eat things, you know, like such abuse, Mario, such abuse. But it does. It just gives you, it shows you similarities like that. The whole, like, hitting the Koopa Troopa, the red Koopa Troopa, taking a shell and then hitting a block at the bottom. You know, that's something that you've got to do in Mario 3. At this time, the game slowly progressed from Mario Bros. 1 to 2 to 3, and even the Game Boy games. This was, I feel like it shows you like an element of the old games. And then it shows you, hey, here's what's new. It's not a mushroom that popped out. It's a Yoshi egg. And you hop on Yoshi, you collect that coin, he eats some fruit. It shows you how powerful, like, he doesn't knock the Koopas out of their shells, he stomps them into dust from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And then he eats people with his long tongue. The spiky dude from the desert. But yeah, immediately from the beginning, you just see that this is exciting. And that's what we were kind of talking about with Mario Wonder, is like, when we play a new Mario game, is we want to see something that, like, what makes this Mario game different and advanced, you know, without throwing away everything that it's done? What is the evolution that we're getting with the game? And with the new Mario Bros. Series, we just weren't getting that, you know, but with this, we are. So, yep. And the bright, vibrant colors as well. is awesome. And then you click on it, player one game. And it starts off kind of like basically almost similar to what we were initially starting off with the title screen. But welcome. This is Dinosaur Land. It's not the Mushroom Kingdom. This is Dinosaur Land. In this strange land, we find that Princess Toadstool is missing again. Looks like Bowser is at it again. And then Mario walks up and you start. You can go left or right. I don't know about you, Ryan. You're at Yoshi's house. I mean, maybe some people click on Yoshi's house right away, which if you click on it, it's just a tree with a bunch of fruit and some birds up at the top. There's really nothing going on. You kind of just, it's fun to hang out because the music, I like the music there. It's in general, there's not anything to do. Obviously, you got a talk box and it kind of gives you a description.
Yeah, it tells you a bit about, like, you can fill in, like, dotted line boxes, but, like, you have no idea what that is. And I don't think I really clicked on this level first. I thought of it like Super Mario Brothers 3, where, okay, you start in this area and you go one way, or you go, like, right. You go to the right. Basically, I went to the right because that's what I was trying to do in 3. But I liked that this Yoshi house area has these different colored birds to represent each of the colors of Yoshi.
Yep.
That's kind of cool. Like, you've got like a fireplace going on and like Yoshi's red mailbox with the Yoshi, big Yoshi sign below it. It's just basically like a tree canopy house with a chimney on it. Not a whole lot going on there other than the speaker box and then all the fruit, the apples or what have you.
Right. Well, and you look at the screen, the whole thing is just got so much more detail. You got Mario walking in the top left with your lives indicating you start off with 5. One thing that I think is clear, and you can correct me, I could be wrong. Stouse is a little blank on this, but is this the first Mario game where every level individually is named and it's not just like 1-1, 1-1, 1-2, like the world and level? Like, if you go to the right, we're going to Yoshi's Island 2. That's the title of the level.
Yeah.
Like a song per every song got a name.
Basically,
I don't recall that being in the thing in Mario Bros. 3.
I don't think so, no. I don't think they really had names. Even then, I think we gave our own names to things, or at least that's what they were. Like, you know, like I would always call that one level in 3 like Big World. You know, it was technically you were small and big or whatever, but like I don't remember having names for specific places, like, oh, that's the desert, you know, that's the water area. Like, I don't remember those even having names, so it was just all numbered at the time. Maybe there was some kind of strategy guide or something out there that did give those names, but really this is where you started seeing that those things where they had specific they had the prefix of the area that you're in, like Yoshi, donut, you know, what have you, chocolate. So you have the different prefix, and then whatever that level is, whether it's island, house, you know, maybe numbered and things, like,
right,
to tell the different ones apart. But also the tiles themselves were different as well. Some of them were yellow dots, some of them were red dots, some of them, like, you go into like a pond that like there's some like interaction where like Mario's kind of moving on the map. Like if you have a Yoshi kind of waddles back and forth with the head side to side.
Right.
And then if you go into water, it looks like Mario's actually standing in it, like a puddle of water.
Right. Right.
And if you go to the left, like you can go up and you like walk through some water in a pond on the top of the hill. And there's a switch, a yellow switch at the top of that pillar, basically, as you climb the ladders. But generally in this area, you have what looks to be like fencing around Yoshi's area. And then you have the green lush island with these tall hills. All of them have eyes on the top. The hills have eyes that are green as well. And it's just very, very lush and green with like the clouds floating about. And then there's like the tiny smoke stack that keeps rising up. There's about three clouds, and it gives you the option. There's like a sign there that's like you can go right, you can go left. For me, I always went right, and then I just kept on going right. Later, I went over to, I think it was my mom's friend's house or something, and they were playing the game, and they showed me that you could go left, and that there was a switch, I know, on the left path. I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, I mean, let's break it down. So obviously, and maybe our listeners did it differently, but I feel like the natural trend that people are going to do here is go right. Like you said, like, yeah, in Mario Bros. 3, you start off, you go right. I don't even think I even thought, oh, I can click on the house I walk on. I just always go, I always, to this day, I still naturally go right. So you go right, and you click on it. And I like how the screen just kind of fizzles out with pixels. It was a great transition. And then you start off, and then there's a dangling fruit that you can do nothing with. And there's Mario, and you already have an empty shell, a red shell. And then up top is a bunch of Koopa Troopas who are just walking along. Now you see like the stitched out cube there that's in the way. You're like, what is this? Obviously, you mentioned the switch, which that we know now, way in the year 2023, that these switches activate what should go here. And we have missing blocks, and you hit the blocks, and then boom, the second block to the right is a Yoshi egg, man. Hooray, thank you for rescuing me. On my way to rescue my friends, Bowser trapped me in that egg. And this is the journey of Yoshi. This is when he finally starts. I mean, the animation on him, they wanted to do it in Mario Bros. 3. Miyamoto has said that. They initially had planned to do Mario Bros. 3, but the technology wasn't there to make it run.
Yeah.
So we finally get to experience this. And Yoshi, he's awesome. I mean, this is just a revolution. It's not just Mario, and it's not just a green-looking Mario that's supposed to represent Luigi. You're on a creature who's unique. He brings a new skill set. You're kind of OP with him. That's why they make it so he is in and of himself a power up.
Yeah, yeah, and he's kind of he acts that way too, like as a shield. But he's a power up that you have to actually catch. Like,
yep.
You know, it's kind of a cool mechanic to, yes, you have this extra hit you can take, but if you want to get it back, you have to risk taking more hits to try to get them before they escape, you know.
Right.
Before they run off because they got hurt, you know.
After you get him, you run into like a little talk box, like a speaker, like, hey, to do a spin. And all the speaker boxes just give you details. The first one really is just about to do a spin jump. You press A. You press the A button. A Super Mario spin jump can break some of the blocks and defeat some of the tougher enemies, which is a new mechanic. Again, you mm-hmm. right away, Mario has a way to just crush something versus just jump on it. It was a different kind of jump, a new move that you could utilize pretty well.
Yeah, and this speaker box was twofold. It not only told you how to do the spin jump and tell you what he could do, but also if you had a Yoshi at that time, which was just right before then, it lets you know that that's how you like get unseated from Yoshi and jump off of Yoshi's back, which was kind of a cool idea. It doesn't really tell you that if you jump in the air and you hit the button, you'll like jump straight up. But for the most part, that helps you understand another mechanic. With or without Yoshi, it tells you what it can do, but then also you're like, oh, but there's this hidden thing you can do with Yoshi if you're on him, if you hit the button, you can actually jump off of him.
Right. You got another red turtle immediately right after that, a Koopa, and if you'll notice that Yoshi doesn't swallow it. He holds it in his mouth, and if you hit the eat button again with his tongue, he actually spits out fire, and that's another mechanic yet again that they added to the game. Then when you get like regular green ones, he swallows them whole. But you can't do anything. You got a charging Chuck, a new enemy to get released to up here as soon as you go up the hill, and he can't really be beat much, can he? I mean, you can jump on him and kind of stun him. With Yoshi? Yeah,
it takes 3 hits to take him out.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. Always has been.
All this time? I did not know that.
Yep.
I mean, I
three,
knew that you
three
could
bounces
kill
him. On the head and they go away.
What?
And that defeats him. Yep.
Okay. Holy cow, I just did it. And then right after him, you run into a checkpoint. First time checkpoints have been introduced. That is new. Mm-hmm. At least in Mario. Am I wrong?
I think that's the first kind of midway that they've done. Yeah, I think that is accurate. Like the levels before, like in Super Mario Brothers 3, like you didn't have like this halfway point that you could restart if you died. Like it was just hard mode the whole time, you know. But this gives you like, especially gives the ability to do longer levels now that the Super Nintendo can handle longer levels. But then you could have like a checkpoint to make it a little bit fair for people, you know. It's kind of cool to see that they go and give you accessibility this early on. So they know like if you get past this charge and chuck, then you are going to be hitting the save point. Oh, I got past the hard part. Okay, cool. You know, I don't have to go back and do that again. But you don't know that unless you die, you know, and you start back there. You've got the little speaker box that tells you a bit about it. It marks the middle of the stage in every stage. Um, It doesn't make it very clear, though, when you hit the speaker box. It's like, by cutting the tape here, you can continue from close to this point. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of English there, but... Yeah.
If you get another Yoshi egg while you have Yoshi, all it is an extra life, which is very helpful. Continue to move on. Then you, all of a sudden, the ground, you can see the hills. Something starts busting out of it, and you got a freaking... a new enemy. Gosh, I can't Monty remember Mole. His name. Monty Mole. Yes. Monty Mole jumps up. And you can quickly eat him or jump on him. But if he hits you, which I think a lot of times maybe first-time players might get hit because you don't know, like, whoa, what is this? What is happening? And then, boom, he gets you. And then Yoshi goes running like crazy, which if you catch him in time, you can jump back on Yoshi and calm him down. He's kind of like a scared horse in a way, you know, running away.
Yeah.
And then you can get off. You can, you know, calm things down. But once you do that, this first level all in general has so many secrets. It's just like it kind of like it's showing you how to play the game very fast.
Yeah.
Because then you got like you already got a piranha plant special area section that if you hit right after Monty Mole up to clouds and it takes you to more coins. And I got to tell you. Adding in the gold Yoshi coin is, I don't know why, but it's special. Like, I always have this itch of like, I gotta get that coin. You know, that's how I feel. I gotta get that coin. It bothers me if I miss the Yoshi. I don't mind missing the little regular golden coins, but the Yoshi coin, I like have this itch. Like, I gotta get it. I gotta get it. And I don't even, well, it just gives you 2,000 points, really. It doesn't really...
Yeah.
Do anything that exciting, but it felt exciting at the time. Can we talk about the apples? Like, I never, as a kid, really understood. Like, I mean, obviously they do something, but is it nothing that in particular, right?
So if you get enough of them, like, of course, they give you a coin each time you do it. But if you get enough of them, it sprouts into a cloud, and it throws out these silver coins. And I want to say if you keep collecting all of them, maybe an extra life comes out. I don't know, remember exactly what happens there.
I think so. That's what I recall.
But the, you know, that just gives you extra coins that you can work with. You know, you can and, you can collect and try to get as the cloud kind of throws it out. It's a smiley face cloud, so it's friendly. It's not necessarily. It's not really the same cloud as what Black Dew uses. But I'm trying to think. So yeah, Yoshi poops out an egg, right? And so it depends on the level what happens. If you're at full power up, then you'll get the cloud. But otherwise, you're going to get a power up that you don't have yet. So like if you're small Mario, you're going to get your mushroom. And I don't know if that's necessarily programmed per level. Or if it's just simply that each level has its own thing, or perhaps there's a hierarchy. If you have the cape or you have the fire flower and your extra ability slot is also full, then it might bring up the cloud. It's not very clear. I know that I just got a mushroom on it when I tried to do that. Which it wasn't necessarily the cloud, but there's other points where you eat enough and you get a cloud from Yoshi's, you know, having enough apples. A lot of things give you coins in this game. You know, Yoshi eating enemies gives you coins. The dragon coins, I believe, counts as a coin count as well.
Okay.
So you don't get really any coins for taking out, like, Charge and Chuck or anything like that. If you jump on an enemy... with Yoshi, it doesn't make a coin at all. If you have the fire flower, it does make a coin, turn the enemy to a coin instantly. And if you, I believe if you pop, or if you knock the shell off of Koopa, you can use the fire flower as well to gain a coin for each, the Koopa and the shell. The turtle and the shell, if I remember right. So this is also the introduction of the dotted yellow blocks.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned that.
So there is a point where it shows these two dotted blocks over a pit or over a chasm. And so that gives you the idea, oh, well, if I fill that in, then it's going to fill in that hole and make it easier for me. As you progress through the level, you know, you've got the Monty Moles popping up out of the hills. But then when you get just a little bit further, Monty Mole will actually jump up out of the ground. You're, like, you'll see the mound on the ground itself.
Not just the side, but like the actual ground itself.
Like it'll be on the surface. It's a little bit of a different animation instead of like the circle on the side of the hill.
And then right after that is you can go down our first pipe. Right? The first pipe in the game. I think that we can actually go down. And it really introduces you to this is what the underground of this game is. And may I remind you, it is far more different than old Mario 1 games.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just this dark black back screen. This is like an underground chasm. I mean, it looks scary. It's not scary. It definitely is. You can tell you're underground with a bump, 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 the music, but it's not like an exciting, fun song like what the upper level is. But it's pretty. It's like got in a weird way. It's like there's diamonds in the walls, and it doesn't feel like this scary underground dark pit. Like I feel like the first Mario game did dun 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 dun. It's not like that.
Yeah.
You're underground. Yes. It feels different, but it feels like you go to a beautiful area in a way.
It gives you a couple of mechanics. Like if you have Yoshi, there'll be these flying blocks that you can hit. But you're like, how do I get that high? Like there must be a way to do it. And there's actually a couple ways. If you're on Yoshi, you can jump off Yoshi in the air and jump straight up and hit those blocks. If you don't have Yoshi, they give you these blue blocks or purple blocks or whatever. And if you stand on top of them and hit the pickup button, essentially, the run button, you'll pick up those blocks. And if you hold it, you'll hold on to that and it'll start flashing. If you hold on it too long, they'll break. But you can actually like aim up and throw it up. And it kind of tells you like you can throw things upward to hit these boxes. Most of them are coins. One of them has an extra life in it. But there are these winged boxes flying about everywhere.
Yeah, it, like you said, it gives you new mechanics. I mean, yes, you could throw shells, but it shows that you can grab blocks, and they like disappear when you do that. And in here, all these you got flying coin boxes up top, and most of them are just coins. I think one is an extra life. But then once you leave the area, because you've done all that, go through the pipe, boom, we're back up to the top or to the end of the level. Kind of like Mario 1, where you just kind of, as you go down that pipe, it takes you towards the very end of the level.
Yeah.
And you got your charging Chuck that I now know you can kill after 3 big hits on his head. I did not know that. I'm 33 years freaking old. And then there's a POW block, which we know we're familiar with. You hit it, makes a path. You go up to the end, and this is different. It's like the halfway check mark. It's this like up and down meter pole that you got to. When you hit it, if it's at the top, you get like a better ranking. It gives you a rank to like, and you get more points for where you hit it at. You know, it's just like to represent the flagpole, except for it's not a flagpole. You know, it's something different.
Yeah, you're breaking the tape on a big goalpost, basically. It's kind of reminiscent of like, you know, running through the banner at like a football game. You know, it's kind of like you're breaking the tape. You're running the end of the race. You know, you get to the end of the race, you run through the tape. You know, the first one to break it, you know, you get first place. It's kind of that feeling. And I like that imagery they did. And I like that the halfway mark is kind of the same thing, but they gave a bit of a mini game to it, or kind of a mechanic where you have to try to catch it on the timing. The higher you go, the more score you get. And the significance of that score is it accumulates over the levels. And every time you break tape, you get points for it, depending on how high you hit it, up to 40. And once you've reached 100 points, at the end of the level, it'll take you to a bonus mini game where you can have a chance to get, you can match blocks to get extra lives. It's kind of like a, I don't know, I kind of considered it like bingo, where like if you get like three in a row, then you'll get like an extra life, and then it's a multiplier. So if you get like, you know, all of them in a row, you get like 9 extra lives or something like that. So it cycles between your mushroom, your fire flower, and your star. And depending on the timing that you hit those boxes in, it'll get stuck on that value, and then you try to match them all up. And it's basically like a square grid, 3 blocks up and across, and then 1 block in the middle that tells you what you're trying to match to get all of them. Mm-hmm. And the other blocks that are circling around the middle one are cycling, and you have to hit them and freeze them so that you can get it to match up and get extra lives for that. And you're immediately dropped into this bonus room through a pipe in the ceiling. And when you get your extra lives, it'll drop the extra lives from that same pipe that you come into the room with. And then you go until all the blocks are basically set, and you'll get your extra lives, and that'll be the end of the level, and you'll exit that bonus mode to go on to the next area.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we mentioned it yet, but when we end a level, the animation Mario makes at the end.
Oh yeah, a little peace sign.
He looks to you, he kind of like breaks the fourth wall, and he's like, hey, peace out. And then
for granted.
You do, you know, that's something that he never did in the past, you know, and that's mm-hmm. cool. I like that. So then obviously, go ahead.
I just want to mention, like, one mechanic that they taught you early, like in the very beginning of the level, is you can pick up shells. And if you toss the shell into a bunch of enemies, you hit a certain amount of enemies, you get a 1-up.
Yes,
and
for each one, right at the start
as well.
Start of that first level.
You know, quick way to get extra lives starting out. But if you're not diligent about it, then you won't know it necessarily. But also, like, if you have Yoshi, like, you breathe the fire, it'll turn them into coins instead, similar to having the fire flower.
Right. Well, when we beat that level, obviously, the pathway to go up goes up, and that is Yoshi's Island 3. But I want to go backwards a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think it's cool. I'm like, whoa, there's another path to the left. Where is that going to take me? Mm-hmm. And that takes us to Yoshi's Island 1.
I did want to note, after you've beaten a level, you can go back into it anytime. And then if you hit the pause button and then the select button, you can exit out of that level right away. So if you get some kind of power up or something you wanted, or you get a Yoshi and you don't want to complete the rest of the level, you can just hit the start button and the pause button, and it'll take you out of the level, and you'll have your new power ups that you picked up in that level. So it's a quick way to get out, but get the items that you need to move on.
Never knew that. Really? I never knew that. Teaching. You literally just messaged, like, all these years I'm playing Mario World, I'm still discovering new things, and like, you're literally telling me things I never. That's two things now I did not know about this game. It probably goes to the fact that maybe I didn't have it. You know, I didn't have it as a kid. But
yeah, I've got a third one coming up here that I didn't even know, and I discovered today even. So you know, there's always new things to learn in these games and the mechanics and things. For sure. So yeah.
Well, if you go over to Yoshi's Island 1, you click on it, and immediately
Mario start.
Yeah, it just gives you a different feeling. I mean, you pop up, and everything is just bright blue. The first level is more green. You're kind of like in a foresty area. This is just bright blue with clouds in the sky, and a Koopa Troopa that's naked immediately falls right in front of your face, and you think he's going to hit you, and you're like, whoa!
And this is slanted hills, too. That's new. Yeah, slanted hills.
Slanted hills. And it's got a Yoshi coin right at the top there. Whoa, and you get you get a giant Bullet Bill, and you get the little dragon, walking dragon guys, new enemy.
Yeah.
Bullet Bills were new enemies, but that giant Bullet Bill is a new enemy. They never really had a huge Bullet Bill like that before.
Yeah, Bonsai Bill is what they're called in this one.
Yes.
And the dragons are interesting because they're unless you have Yoshi, they take 2 hits. Like, you have to bounce on it. On its head, and it scrunches it down, and then it gets faster, and you have to bounce it on it again to get rid of it. And then if you have Yoshi, you can eat them or jump on top of them, and it's a 1 hit, they're gone. And so Yoshi is kind of a powerful power up, so to speak.
I mean, he is, and he doesn't have his traditional flutters that we know of today, but back then it was just a straight jump, which honestly I feel like makes him better. In a way, like, he's not as floaty, he's more direct. Like, when I'm playing Mario Wonder, they have the badge that makes you floaty to give you the mechanic like what Luigi had, you know. Mm-hmm. And I put it on for fun. And I'm like, I actually hate this. And I feel like I don't have as good of control as I did when Justice jumped. So I'm thankful Yoshi has that. After you do that and you get introduced to like all these new little dragon guys and you go through it, you collect the Yoshi coin. If you're dashing, I don't know if it does it all the time, but I know that the first bush, if you're sprinting by with Yoshi, a mushroom just gets tossed up into the sky.
Yep.
Does that happen every time, no matter like if you're small or big, or do you have to like?
I believe so. Yeah, it's always a mushroom.
Okay. Well, then you get your first little obstacle where you talked about the blocks that have eyes. And
the yellow blocks. It doesn't make it really clear what you have to do there.
No.
But again, if you went to this level first and didn't go to the second level like we did, you wouldn't know what to do here. You'd be like, okay, well, maybe I have to find another pipe that'll get me underneath of that, you know. And what the trick is actually hitting the Y button, or sorry, the spin.
The A.
The A button. And that will, if you're spinning and you hit those yellow blocks, it breaks them.
Yeah, breaks them down.
And you can do the same thing. If you're on Yoshi, you can spin and then land on Yoshi, spin off of Yoshi's backs. And then land on Yoshi's back, and you can break the blocks as well. So you can be on Yoshi and break the blocks at the same time. And a unique thing about these blocks is if you hit them from the side or underneath, they flip for a while, and then they go solid again, and they stop flipping. And they become solid blocks again. But while they're flipping, you can jump through them and pass through them, which is kind of a new mechanic there. It's not quite like Dunkin' Donuts, like, you know, the D-shaped donut platforms that we had from Super Mario Brothers 3. But it gives you another element where, yes, if you break them, then they're gone and you don't have that platform anymore. But you also have the option, you can jump through them really easily just by jumping up and knocking them and then getting to the platform above them.
Sure, sure.
So it's just a different way to travel with that.
Going down, well, so say you go and you break those blocks, you go down, it's just another underground section, and it really just has more of the mechanic for you to show you what to do. You break it, and there's a Yoshi coin there, okay? Mm-hmm. You move on. If you go through the pipe, you don't just come up, you get tossed, you get shot out like a cannon.
Mm-hmm.
You get shot out like a cannon, at full speed go. Shoot you right through the checkpoint. And then if you click on your box, it gives you more points of advice about like this game allows you to hold on to an extra item up at the top. And if you are big and you want a fire flower or a mushroom or a cape, which we'll get to later, you can select it and change that. So that is cool to have. Because that was new entirely.
Yeah. Yeah, the game rewards you for discovering new things, you know, with that dragon coin. Like, if you figure out how to go in there, like, you can then grab that dragon coin. And then you have to bypass, or you have to get around a piranha plant that jumps up into the sky and then, like, floats down, like, on a propeller. And so that's something that you have to, like, watch out. That's kind of a new mechanic, is usually they would, like, jump up and they'd fall back in, but this one kind of slowly floats down. I give you a new mechanic to deal with, a new motion. You know, it gives you like the general, like you can hold the extra item, like you said. You know, you keep collecting the dragon coins, and there's, by this point in the level, you should have four of them. And if you collect a fifth one, you get an extra life, basically. And there could be more than five dragon coins at a level. From what I've understood, or at least you can collect five, and that's the path like that you've chosen. But the different paths have different places you can get that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the yellow blocks, like dotted line blocks you have again. You know, if you don't have it, that makes it really tough to go through there, because there's a bonsai bill and there's some clouds up above, and you don't really know what you can do with those clouds. But it does tell you that you can pick up a shell by holding down X or Y.
Right.
And then if you look upwards, you can let go of the button and it'll throw that shell up. So it tells you how to hit that yellow, eyed block up above. and it produces a extra life, which right. immediately jumps out and hops onto the clouds above it. So your natural instinct is to go, oh, well, I better run and grab that extra life, you know, and then this bonsai bill comes barreling towards you, and you have some gaps you have to deal with. It's kind of a first, like, really big panic moment, other than, like, just seeing bonsai bill in general. It's like, oh, it's bonsai bill plus obstacles, plus I want to get the extra life.
Yes.
And at this point, like, it's going to fall into a pit if you don't have the yellow switch hit in those boxes, yellow line boxes filled in. So, like, you have to hurry. You have to grab that, like, really quickly before it goes to the great beyond, if you will.
The great beyond. If you get to, once you get past that initial bullet or bonsai bill, you got like a whole slew of the walking dragon guys. And there are three on the bottom, one up top. If you go up and you know you can hold down the slide button from like Mario Bros. 3, usually you can kill your enemies. These guys, it just stomps them. You don't kill them. They shrink down. That is not an automatic kill. And then you immediately fall into a pit, and then there's a bonsai bill coming. So if you're big, you better duck or you're going to get hit. Or if you're small, just stay there. But you got to move fast, like you said, because if you notice the dragon guys, once you get them off your screen and you go back, like they turn around. They actually walk at the direction you're going. They will follow you into that pit. If you just screw around and you go back beyond that to where you just came from, you go back and put them in frame, they'll be walking back that direction. So they're programmed to kind of chase you around. Obviously at slower speeds, but that's what happens like right before with what you were before we got to the extra life and the bonsai bill part. That that's what you come through. But then, yep, you got the three blocks. You got a large mushroom if you're needing that to get you there, and just kind of make your way through.
I would like to note that this is where you can get your first. Second power up past the mushroom, with the fire flower. This is what it gives you exclusively in this level is the fire flower, no other power ups. So, you know, you're getting a lot of coins or potential to get a lot of coins here.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find out quickly that the fire doesn't necessarily work on the bonsai bill. As far as I know, I have not actually tried to defeat one with enough, like, fireballs, but I think it's invulnerable to the fireballs.
For all I know, it might. At this point, I keep discovering all these things I should know.
Well, you can take out Charge and Chuck with, I think it's like four or five fireballs. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you beat basically after that, you beat the level. There's a Chuck, Charge and Chuck, clapping his hand. He's not really charging at you, and you can just quickly pass by him and beat the level. But then after go ahead.
Once you hit Charge and Chuck from his like first stance where he's jumping and clapping, he'll resume his regular Charge and Chuck behavior, which is to charge you. So you break him out of his first stance and then he'll do that.
But normally you're probably just going to jump on him and bounce into the end zone there.
Yep.
But then once you do that, then that's where this part of the game gets cool. Again, and I'm trying to just put us back in the minds of when we were us kids that, you know, if we have kids, teenagers listening, young adults today, they don't really understand this because they've grown up in gaming that's so much more evolved and all these things that we're doing is just in like, they just grew up in a different world. For us, we are so special because like our gaming experience is so special because we got to grow up as games grew up. You know, the games have changed and evolved. And I always think back to like the NES and the Game Boy. I had Game Boy, the classic Game Boy, for so many years after my NES broke, didn't have a SNES. So I remember Mario Land a lot and the animations and the limitations of the graphics that we had. And I think this part's so cool. The path opens up once you beat that and you climb the ladder, go through the little water patch, you climb up the ladder again. But then the screen, like, flashes, it transitions like a PowerPoint, and we're up top. We're standing on top of this switch, and not only is it the switch that we're standing by, you get to see this overall view of more of the world, and I think that is what's really cool to me. Like, you go up top, you see a flying ghost circling this house, smiling in a creepy way.
you just see like what is beyond, what is beyond, what are we trying to get to? What are we covering and doing? Like it gets you excited that there's so much more to this game. This game is big. Unlike Mario 3, it was based off level by level. You couldn't see the connecting world. And this shows you that there's more beyond what you're doing. And I love that. Ryan, click on the switch and tell us all about this section.
So those who don't or aren't able to like kind of see what the switch looks like. So basically it's just a base with a dome, kind of like a I don't know, like those, you have those vending machines, like you put like quarters in and you turn the dial and you get like a little capsule. It's kind of that shape, where it's like a dome on a flat like switch bed, or like a flat, like, yeah, I don't really know how else to describe it. It looks kind of like if you had an eraser on the end of a pencil, but if it was rounded instead of flat on top. And it's yellow and has the exclamation point. So when you go in there and you start this level and you're in this like blue and white striped frame with like a diamond checkered background of like light gray and dark blue. And then you come across these like stone blocks and you have a P block, a P switch, which looks very much like the switch that you hit for when you enter the level. It's just like a smaller one. And you can pick it up. The P switch is not new to Mario by any chance, but you can actually pick it up and walk around with it. If you hold down the button and if you jump on it, it turns into a ton of coins. So this kind of gives you the idea, oh, hey, I can get extra lives doing this.
Yep.
And so it gives you time, like limited time, to run around and collect all these coins before they disappear, to try to get your extra life. And when you come to the end of that hallway, there is a green pipe that you can go through. And it takes you into another room with the striped border, but very narrow. And it opens up into a bigger like square room where you have a giant switch. That's it's the yellow version of the switch that you saw when you entered the level. It's got kind of a goldish bottom and yellow on top with a giant white exclamation point in the middle. For me personally, like I like to hit these switches. Like you jump on top of them. I like to hit them while I'm crouched. But people have different ways of doing it. Like if they have different power, some people like to do the back or like the spin jump onto the back of it.
Yeah, I like the spin. Satisfying.
I like to crouch and jump on it. I know some people like did like looking up, you know, when they hit it. So they're looking at the words as you, when you hit the switch palace, like the power of the switch you have pushed will turn on the dotted line yellow into the exclamation yellow. And then like when you leave the level, like all these yellow blocks shoot out on the world map, like they're heading out into the world. And then you depress the switch on the map itself, and it gives you the option to continue and save or continue without save.
Yeah. And you save.
So you feel like you've accomplished something. And now if you go into level one, or Yoshi's Island 1 or Yoshi's Island 2, those places where they had the dotted lines are now solid blocks.
Yes.
Also, these solid blocks, if you jump into them, the yellow ones, they always give you a mushroom.
Mm.
And so that's an extra power-up that you have accessible to you if they're not like part of a platform that you can't get under. Like each one of them you hit will turn into that.
That area is also, I didn't say at the top, that's called Yellow Switch Palace. That's what its name is. And I just have to say, like, I personally like to just milk that room because I love that song. I love that athletic theme. Mm-hmm. I think it's fun. It's when I think of Mario World that I think of that song. I mean, it was always one of my favorites. When I got Super Smash Bros. Melee for the GameCube, I loved the Mario World theme, and I loved spamming that song. It made me, again, at that time, nostalgic for an older, a two-generation old system that I never owned, and brought back, you know, the nostalgic memories that back then in the GameCube days, if you could have them. I just loved all that. I thought that was fun. That theme is good. It's a good theme. It's fun even to this day. And that's what Mario Wonder spoils. Mario Wonder has it in it too, at little certain areas and different Mario songs, which I think is fun and cool about the game. Well, so after we did all that, obviously we got to continue on. We got three more levels to get through. We got to go to now to Yoshi's Island 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
This is different. You are like higher up. You seem to have climbed a mountain now.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of coins, and obviously you got a speaker box that tells you what to do. You got now. Well, this level is a lot easier without. It's good that we went back and did the switch because, you know, what you just talked about, this level would be extremely dangerous without
the without other blocks the, being in the way.
Yeah, because at the bottom,
it covers a lot of the pits.
It fills in a lot of the pits. You're right. Like you can obviously you can beat it without it, but down below you can fall and you can just die.
Yeah, and there's a new mechanic with like these swinging platforms that you stand on, and it's kind of weight based. The more you stand to the right, the faster it'll swing, or the left. It'll swing the other way. So there's kind of a balancing thing there that you have to do. So there's some platforming stuff where you have to time it while this platform is spinning around a central like block. It's kind of like, so it's like a wooden looking platform with joined by wooden looking like spheres.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminds me of Sonic in some ways. And then it connects to a stone block, like a gray stone block. And it just spins around. And if you stand on one side, when it gets to the top, it'll go that direction. And then if you go to the other side, when it gets to the top, it'll start going back the other direction. So like you can go left or right and it'll swing that way. But you have to kind of time your jumps and whatnot to get off of those.
Right. Well, and when you want to, you unless you're just trying to speed through it, if you're somebody who likes to explore and everything, you want to ride it out. Like you want to go through it and see where it takes you, because when you do, you discover new areas. So like, okay, you know, let's fast forward. We say we go through that. You get to two new blocks. You can get Yoshi again if you have lost him at this point. You got flying red Koopa Troopas who are in the sky because you're jumping around.
There is another secret here. There is a yellow pipe.
Right past this, right?
Yeah.
After you get Yoshi, you go down the yellow pipe. But that's what I mean by like, that's why you don't see it. If you just jump on the platform and jump to the next, you don't see it. If you ride the wooden platform to go down, that unlocks these areas and you see that random yellow pipe. Like, oh, what is that? And what is that, Ryan? Where does it take us?
You're taken to another underground scene, but this time with lava.
It's different. More dangerous.
There's a P switch there, and there's a bunch of coins. And your initial instinct is like, oh, I'm going to go grab the coins, but then it's sitting over a pit, so like of lava. So what do you do? Like, how do you get those
coins?
You know, get those coins. How do you get out of there? And essentially, what you have to do is you hit the P switch, and coins turn into solid blocks for a limited time. So you have to basically hit the switch, run across the coins, ignoring picking them up to get across the gap, to get out of that area. So it's like, well, I could get the coins and that's a temptation, but then you can't go any further.
Right.
So that's kind of a trade-off you have to make decision.
Yeah, and I'd rather live and not die and collect the coins, so I'm good. I'll just run across. You go out there, takes you to the halfway point through the level, the checkpoint. Then you obviously got another speaker block. The speaker block's going to give you a reminder of what you can do. When you stop on your enemies and high air, it tells you basically, I think like, you can jump higher up. You know, like if you can use Yoshi. If you hold up the control pad, you can jump higher in shallow water areas. It kind of tells you more mechanics. We're still learning the game. I mean, all of World 1 is really just teaching us about the game. And it slowly throws one or two new things at you. You get beyond that. Keep going. You've got more of the special blocks. We didn't necessarily talk about it yet, but I did want to talk about So you got the eyeball blocks, and they move back and forth and up and down at different parts as like a new mechanic and to try to make it a little bit more challenging for you. But you can't break these, right? These are just like the, you know, because with the spinning attack, we established already that you can break the blocks, but you cannot do that here. So that's something you got to be careful with. Don't get, you know, just know what your limitations are, but
You get through there, and then, yep, you run into a green star, or it's a green block with a white star, which gives you extra lives automatically. As we run through the level, it's it starts to get pretty basic. At this point, you really should know how to play the game, or this level. I guess I have many years of experience playing it, but you run through it quickly, and you start to get to the end here.
I find it, I like that they continue with the theme of using the checkerboard look. There's some platforms that are checkerboard.
Right.
I know there was a lot of checkerboard imagery in Mario Brothers 3, and I really love the checkerboard aesthetic, and so I was a big fan of seeing that in platforms and various things like that. And it basically just, they either go left to right or raise up and down. Just some extra platform, like verticality that they give you with timing. Similar to the swinging, I guess, pendulum platforms, but they aren't necessarily weight-based. They just move on an automatic track. And I really like those things. And then they kind of give you like a new one with those ones that can't be broken, that like they grow, like the eyes that are yellow.
Yeah.
They grow side to side or up and down. Some of them shift, some of them do the same set path. And so you've got some more like challenging verticality there. And if you have hit the yellow blocks, like you just run around on the bottom, you don't have to worry about your timing jumps. But that's pretty stressful as a kid or like first time playing it.
Sure.
It's a lot of stress. And I could see how some people would be like, oh man, this isn't for me. But those who have the drive can really go and get that, get that level finished. And I do want to note that star block that you get, mm-hmm. It doesn't always give you an extra life.
No, it doesn't.
So I think it has something to do with like the time you hit it, or perhaps how many coins you have. I'm not really sure, but it gives you coins essentially. It'll give you a coin. If you hit it, I don't know if it gives you anything else at any other time, or what the mechanic is there. I don't know if you know kind of what.
I'm not sure what changes it from coin to. I'm not sure what the key thing is. I mean, when I hit it initially, when I last played it, I was with Yoshi. I don't know if that makes a difference or not.
But I noticed that. Like if you have a lot of time on the timer, it'll give you like a coin, but if you don't, then it might give you an extra life. So I think maybe it has time based, and this isn't uncommon because they do have time based elements in Super Mario World. Like if you do things at certain times, they don't use it too much.
Yeah.
But you know, the level has a timer. It counts down from like what, 200 or 300, 250, something like that.
Yeah.
And, I know some things, like if you do things in a certain time frame, you get better bonuses or you get some other things. But I wonder if maybe the time or perhaps your coin count or something makes a difference. Like if you're closer to getting 100 coins, maybe it gives you a coin because you're closer to a one up there, or maybe it'll just give you that. I'm not really sure. Or I think another reason I think it's time-based, if you start the level and you go in and you hit that halfway point, mm-hmm. that you break the tape on the halfway point, and when you hit that star block, it just gives you a coin. So I'm thinking like it might have something to do with the timer, because when you start the level and you get to that point, you're going to get an extra life. Whereas if you start from the logic there would be you start from the tape. If you died and then you hit that block, it's not going to give you an extra life to make up for your loss. You know,
right.
I think that was kind of something they did there.
But after that, I mean, essentially you a few more little platforms to get through, but then that's really the end of the level and you've made it through. And then we move on to Yoshi's Island 4, which has opened up a water path. You kind of, like you mentioned earlier, you're standing in a water puddle. This level, you immediately can tell it's going to be annoying because
yeah.
you got running water, you got puffer fish. They're not your cheap cheeps, your traditional cheap cheeps we've been used to. We got puffer fish and they're jumping.
Oh my goodness, those are so annoying.
They are very annoying. And you could tell there's like a higher level above where like you could like avoid some stuff, but
yeah,
And they even have like floating like
spike balls in the water. If you fall in, you know, it's hard to swim because you're swimming against a current. And once you get through that first couple platforms, you do find a little bit of relief because you're able to jump into a purple pipe. If you don't have Yoshi, it's kind of annoying because there's a bunch of spikes from the desert that are in this area, and you're just kind of collecting coins, going through it. If you have Yoshi, it's a piece of cake. If you don't have Yoshi, it can be really annoying because these guys can hurt you. But that's simply all it is.
I didn't know for the longest time that you could bounce on them with Yoshi. The puffer fish. And so that was something that was really, really cool to learn later on. If I had a Yoshi, I could get through it. But that was really hard. And plus, you're working with a water like mechanic and like swimming and stuff. And so like, you don't want to get in the water. Like that was like the worst thing you could do as a kid when you weren't really like skilled at platforming. You would not want to go down there. And I'm sure this doesn't help your fear of like the water levels and things and like,
no, not
and
at
enemies
all.
In water levels and stuff. I'm sure that didn't help you as a kid. Trying to avoid these dumb pufferfish. I remember you being frustrated with those things so much.
I remember back then. I'm always just scared of the big fish. The big fish that's going to swim and swallow you whole.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't the first time we've run into a big fish. Like you had that fish where it would like eat you in Super Mario Brothers 3, I believe. And
started it all, man.
And one that spits out like a little fish and then eats that one. And so.
It's kind of got some PS. What do you call it?
PTSD.
PTSD. But if you take this level's really not very long. If you go through that short area, whether you skip it or not, you come across and you're back up and you go through the pipe. It takes you out and you got a red shell just sitting there for you. Obviously throw it. There's a P switch above. If you get that P switch and you hit it, it's going to knock down. You got a layer of this. If you don't do this, this is a lot more, you're going to take a lot more damage. It's more frustrating because you got to swim through the water. There's a coin path underneath with the Yoshi coin right above. You hit the switch. It knocks down all the red Koopa Troopas up top onto your path, but they're easy to knock down, kill them, kill one, knock the turtle shells across the way to the others, and you can run across. And when you run across, it's very beneficial because if you're quick enough and you're good about your timing, your platforming, there's enough coins to get you to where you can jump on them to jump up on some higher green mushrooms. And then you pretty much can just jump over the rest of the water. It pretty much carries you an easier path through it where you don't have to worry about going through the water and getting hit by the spike ball things. And then you can pretty much just hop over to the end of the level and go through the pipe and get to the very end. If you know, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and I think it's great that it makes it easier to get through there. Like you just whatever you do at all costs, don't go into the water. And there's that.
It's only frustrating. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can kind of bypass it with the special area and things like that. So.
If you and then there's also a speaker box at the end too. Again, another tidbit. Like the whole world is just slowly telling us how to play this game. You can see that it does talk about what you've already mentioned about how if you collect enough bonus star points at the end, you get to play a bonus game.
At this point you should have enough to see that
for sure. Yep. And it builds them up slowly and that's how you get it. It's just funny because like as a kid, I never stopped to read. As a matter of fact, like when I first played this game, I don't even think I could read yet. You just play the game, you know, you don't even realize it. But when you stop and break it down, I didn't really realize that that's what it did. It gives you star points. I thought it just gave you extra bonus points and get an extra life. But I never really realized that it actually was giving you star points.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah. I feel like a moron. So
you're just now figuring that out. I didn't realize. Okay. Yeah.
I just now put the two and two together. It actually gives you a separate category. I thought it gave you like overall point ranking, you know, like in the old Mario, Mario 1 and 3, like it's just points that go at the end at the tag, you know, like kind of useless points to collect. But
yeah,
that's cool. Then after that, we finally get to go to the big castle. The pathway opens up. We see it's not a big castle, but it's definitely a boss zone. The boss zone for this first area, you click on it and just you click on it and look at the sheer mass. There's a huge, you can tell this is a towering, this is a massive tower. Mario runs up. Let me see. Mario, you click on it, you run up, and then he stops. He looks up top, and then the door opens. I don't know why he looks up, but he's just kind of like maybe observing, like, man, this is a long way to go. If you're riding Yoshi, Yoshi does not go in with you. I don't know why they decided to make that a thing, but they probably just wanted to make it tougher. I remember Traven, we were dumb young kids, but every time we get to that point, he would always go, "No Yoshi's allowed," and Mario would spin jump off the Yoshi and go on inside, and then like we would just proceed. But you immediately come in, and the level is different. Again, if you're used to Mario 3, this looks like an actual castle. It doesn't look like it has checkered board. Like, it's not like a... Mario 3 had, like, just such the weird black and white checkered... Look like a dance floor type of thing throughout the whole game at different points. And that's what I remember a lot from those. This is not like that. You are in a castle. There's a lava, but there's a fence. There's a fence above your head, and that is new. That was as another new mechanic. If you just jump, Mario doesn't do anything, right? You got to jump and then you got to push up.
There's a speaker box that tells you, like, this is what you need to do, to get on there. And you can, like Spider-Man, crawl along the walls, which is kind of cool.
You got to be careful, though, because there's Koopa Troopas crawling right in your same direction.
Mm-hmm.
On your side. They'll hit you.
I figured out much later, that you could actually take out these enemies just by, like, going over top of their heads. And it'll squish them or whatever.
Like
but if you go from underneath,
heads.
You get hurt. Yeah, you just have to walk down. Like, you don't even have to jump.
Yeah.
And that'll take them out. And also, because you're technically still in the air, it counts towards your counter for enemies you've hit consecutively.
Oh, nice.
So as long as you're in the air, you'll actually get one-ups each time you take them out as you go along, which is really cool.
It's cool. You got a fun animation, too. Like, you get to see their backsides. You never really did.
Yeah.
It's not just a side view. And then you get to see their belly side. Like, there's Koopa Troopas on the other side. And you can even, at certain points, punch the screen. And you can go on the other side of the fence, which is just wow.
You can punch the grate, the fencing, to knock anyone who's in the background, any of the Koopas in the background, off as well. You can defeat them that way.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool.
It is cool. Again, it was a new... Again, it just shows you how... It shows you why this was a Super Nintendo. Like, this is...
Yeah.
All the things that you can do that are so much different than the OG Nintendo. Like, this, it shows you. And it's great.
You got your...
The backgrounds are candle lit or torch lit up top.
You've got your classic fireballs in the Bowser level or in the castle level. You got to watch out for those fireballs. You have the option of going to the foreground and the background or on the other side of the fencing with those flip panels like you mentioned. And they're blue outlines where the holes are, and then they've got the pink inner part of the fencing to show the borders of the fencing, to show where they flip. Once you get past that point, it gives you a bit of a flavor text for the story for the game.
Yes,
you have a speaker
yes.
box you can hit. It says, "Point of advice. One of Yoshi's friends is trapped in the castle by Iggy Koopa. To defeat him, push him into the lava pool."
Yeah, it's telling you how to beat the boss, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's different. It's not like Mario Bros. 3 where it is... jump three times and you kill them. It's you have to push them. It's kind of like a sumo wrestling match in a way.
And you come across these big brown, light brown or golden doors. They're kind of domed on top, and when you go through them, you get kind of a cool sound. It kind of reminds me of like a zipper sound, but like a lower bass zipper sound. I don't know how to describe it, but it sounds kind of like don't know, it's kind of a fart noise.
Yeah.
But it less eloquently.
Yeah, it's not the most delightful sound, but when you go in that room, this hallway, this is like the final stretch of the castle, and it's kind of stressful.
It's intense.
When you don't, you got to remember, put yourself in the mind of being a young kid and you've never played this before. Obviously, we know what to expect. We know how to handle it now when we play the game and we go through mm-hmm. it. But back then, you didn't. The screen all of a sudden is now pushing you. It's an automatic scroll screen. You're not going at your own pace anymore. It's an automatic scroll screen. And these giant wooden stomps are coming down to crush you, and it's tempting because like you want to run through it and there's coins, but you have to time it right and you have to go at the right pace or you're dead meat. And sometimes you have to sit back and be patient, because it'll be patient, and then it lets the screen butt up to you and you're kind of nervous, you know, because you feel being pushed to go. You have to be patient. You have to time it out just right. And then eventually you get to the end. You gotta be careful, because there's a, you know, one of the blocks that like move in and out.
Expands and then goes to single. Yeah, they become a single block and then they expand out to be a full one. And then
it's,
you get
all
to
trapped.
These giant red middle doors with kind of like rivets in them or like, you know, studs in them, silver studs. And if you hang around in this area too long, there is a wooden.
Yeah. Small stud
stamp, whatever, it'll come down and try to squish you if you don't go through the doors. So if you wait and you're like, oh, I gotta catch my breath, I finally made that, and that last one can get you if you're not careful. It's really cool that those things kind of look 3D on a Super Nintendo. It's crazy for those graphics, how it pulls that off.
Well,
once you go through those doors,
start of the Super Nintendo too, man. Like, this is not like 3 or 4 years into it where developers have been able to really flesh it out, you know, like that you see.
And mode,
this is the start.
Yeah. Mode 7 or what have you.
But anyway, sorry. Go ahead and we go through the door.
Yeah. We go through the red doors. It puts you in this black room with lava, and you're sitting on this this stone with like
a tilting stone
grass on it. Yeah, it tilts back and forth. And you have to basically take out this weird looking turtle Koopa guy. He's got like a crazy hair, and he like goes into a shell and throws out a star ball and tries to knock you off this platform that's tilting back and forth. And the trick to it, as the speaker box said before, is you have to jump on his head to get him close to the lava. But as it's tilting back and forth, if you jump on his head, he'll slide towards the way it's tilting. So you could get him towards the edge, and then once it's tilting the other way and you jump on top of his head accidentally, or you know, need to avoid him, like by jumping on his head, like it'll slide him the other way. So you're kind of moving away from getting him from the edge. So you have to kind of do some timing there when it's tilted one way while still dodging his balls that he rolls at you. Try to take him out.
He is, it's tricky too, because like you say, yes, you got to step on him. You got to jump on him and get him closer to the edge. But at the same time, it's happening so fast. And like, if you don't hit him, he will come at you, you know, and that.
Yeah.
And he'll make you like, he'll hit you or whatever. And so you've got to time it. So like it's hard, because like, if you keep jumping on him, you feel secure, you know, like, okay, I got this. I'm in control. Yeah. He can't hurt me. But if you don't do it right, you'll just keep knocking him back and forth and not actually kill him. And you also risk yourself with that double jump of you over jumping him and or bouncing off him and landing in the lava yourself. So
you
got to be delicate with it. If you have a fire flower, it's really helpful, because then you can just like click, click, push him in the direction, one jump, and he's dead. I mean, immediately. Yeah. It really just becomes a skill. You have to get skilled at these parts, you know, it's not just about like who can survive and dodge the most. It's about being skillful in how you do it. Mm-hmm. But once you do that, course is cleared, and then you see the high tech
cutscene,
baby. The little Yoshi egg is saying thank you. It's yellow. Mario has defeated the demented Iggy Koopa in the castle number one and rescued Yoshi's friend, who is still trapped in an egg. Together, they now travel to Donut Land. So we're leaving Yoshi's Island. And world two is Donut Land. Yummy. That makes me want some donuts.
I do want to note, like, each time you beat a castle, there's a different way that Mario destroys the castle. This first one, he turns it into rubble by jumping on basically a push switch for like, you have like dynamite.
Yep.
That has like the line running through it. So you push it down and it blows up the dynamite and it causes the castle to collapse and a little white flag raises up showing like they're defeated, like they give up. And, you know, it's, that's the first experience of taking down one of the castles, in that area that they've inhabited. No telling if those castles were already there, if they, you know, Koopas built it right there and then, and that's why we're getting rid of them. Hopefully it weren't someone else's castle at the time. I would think since Yoshi's Island was probably castle-less at the time, it was probably just something new that they built in that area when they took over, yeah. When the Koopas took over.
The Mario blows it up.
And then once you release that, like the world map also has that castle breakdown as well. And yes. It gives you the option to save and continue.
You cross the bridge and then you save. Yep.
Yep. It'll take you on to the next area and it'll ask you if you want to save once you hit that second block. That brings us into World 2, which we will get into in a future episode.
Donut Plains 1, baby. Yeah. This was fun. This was fun, right? We covered all of World 1, and I hope our listeners enjoyed the ride. We'll get through World 2 next time. But Ryan, why don't you go ahead do our traditional outlets here?
Yeah, just before I hop into that, I did want to say the new thing that I learned this time in all my years of playing this game was that you can actually revisit castle levels in Super Mario World. You can't do it with the switches, but you can do it with the castle levels. If you hit L and R when you're over one of those defeated castles, you can actually revisit it and go play through it again. I never knew that was a thing.
Bro, I just did it.
Like today. I wish I could go back and I could play this level. And I just hit those two and it took me into level. I'm like, no way. I can actually experience those.
That's wild.
So there is one level that you have. There is one castle in the game where it has two exits.
Yeah.
There are two ways you can go. And I actually went back to the area in the forest area, Forest Evolution area, and redid that level and did the secret ending or the secret exit. It's technically not a secret exit because it ends the same. But
right.
It was cool to be able to know that I could do that. And I never had heard about that before. Like it's the same thing, like hitting pause and hit minus, you know, to exit out of a level you've already beaten. Like you can actually revisit stuff. And that was something I never realized you could do. It's really cool.
That is wild. Wow.
So I hope you guys learned some new things if you're veterans of the series. And then if you're not veteran, you know, if it's your first time experience, and I hope these things help you along your way and your first playthroughs. And or maybe picking it back up after many years of not being able to beat it and getting frustrated. But hope these tips help you in the long run. I hope you've enjoyed our first look at Super Mario World, World 1, Area 1 with Yoshi's Island. And I hope that you guys enjoy this journey we're headed on right now. As far as the show, you can listen to our show on our various podcast platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Pandora, and we do have some limited content on YouTube, some older content. You can also find us on social media, Facebook at Nintendo NOS, on TikTok at Nintendo _NOS, on X Twitter at Nintendo _NOS, Nintendo _NOS, Instagram, Nintendo NOSIN, shoot us an email, NintendoNostalgiaIN@gmail.com. You can give us a call on our nostalgia hotline, share your memories, and show us some love at 317-969-5690. Guys, that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for sticking with us on this first deep dive into Super Mario World. And we will catch you next week. Later, Preston.
See you later.